everything I could. It seems like now we do a cool.
Well, that's not Wayne Baker Brooks, is it, Wayne? That's
I know that. He's like, man, he sound much better, man.
That's Henry Jesse Mule Townsend, and listening in and calling in from St. Louis, I know you're a busy guy, is Alonzo J. Townsend, Henry's son. How you doing, Alonzo?
Hey, what's going on, Dave?
I know you got a lot going on tonight, so thanks for jumping in.
Hey, man, it's a pleasure. I'm glad to be on with you. This is sweet.
And I know you know Wayne, so I put Wayne's on the microphone. He's going to ask some questions for you.
Big bro?
What's going on? See, I call him Zoe. Yeah. You know, what's up, Zoe?
Hey, that's big bro right there. That's big bro.
So once I explain your background, then we can get into how you guys know each other. But I ran into you when we were showing our documentary in St. Louis a couple months ago. Your community engagement coordinator at 88.1 FM KDHX in St. Louis. Is that what you were doing tonight?
Yeah, that's why I'm actually here now. We're doing a telethon for a local organization for the LGBTQ community. So yeah, we're building some bridges and doing some great things here at 88.1.
Are you in that same facility we were in, or are you in a different place where we showed our dog?
I'm in the same facility here at 3524 Washington Ave in the Grand Center for those who may visit St. Louis or are from St. Louis. We're right here in the Grand Center side of town doing some beautiful things in this beautiful building, brother.
And then we're going to get into this. You and I haven't talked about this yet, but your former entertainment director at the National Blues Museum in St. Louis.
Yes.
And
yes, absolutely. Yeah, I left in July to come over here to KDHX. The National Blues Museum, for those who have not been, it's a beautiful state-of-the-art facility that also touches into the digital realm as well with the Mix It Up room that was donated by Jack White. It's an amazing space in there. Some great things in there. And I have nothing but a hopeful vision for the future of the National Blues Museum.
Wayne's been on the show before, and he knows that one of my big things I talk about on the show is Chicago blues history and the lack of respect I think it gets from some of the power people here in this town. Although there's that temporary exhibit at the Chicago Blues Museum. But I have been to the National Blues Museum. It's in downtown St. Louis. And I went there right when it opened, and I go, man, there was all these Chicago people National Blues, but they should be also represented in Chicago.
Absolutely,
well.
Man. I totally agree. And I don't know for the life of me, why is it taking so long?
Yeah. And I mean, people always... Zoe, can I call you Zoe?
Man, you have inherited.
I mean, people just up here always talk about getting something done, and it never happens. But people in St. Louis at least got it done, right?
Yeah, that's true. But you know what? It's a double-edged sword to me because the way that you speak of the National Blues Museum, not only highlighting the Chicago legends and the heritage and the roots of the blues, I mean, St. Louis is a little bit of a backtrack as well because Chicago, when you go to Chicago, you see these huge paintings, murals of the legends of not only Chicago, but the legends of Chicago blues. You see a big painting of Muddy Waters on the side of our building, of those buildings. That's how we should have it here in St. Louis. St. Louis has just as a rich legacy in the history of not only music, but the blues itself. And I wish that we could have paintings of Henry Townsend and Johnny Johnson and Oliver Stain and Tommy Bankhead on the side of our buildings and highlighting that history. But we're a little slow on not only the legacy that's in the bricks of this city, but, you know, the legends of roots of original American roots music itself. So it's almost a double-edged sword. It's like we're highlighting, the National Blues Museum should highlight everything that is the blues, but we highlight Chicago, and Chicago has its own room in the National Blues Museum. But also Chicago gives a little bit more, it's missing a boat in the museum aspect. But, I mean, when you drive downtown Chicago and you see these huge paintings and murals of these legends on the side of the building. I mean, I wish we had that kind of dedication too here in St. Louis.
Yeah. Wayne came, we did a remote earlier this year, Wayne's just a great, you're a great spokesman for Chicago blues history. We did a remote from the Chess Studios, but even that hasn't developed the way I want it to, the way it should, the potential it has.
Absolutely.
And Zoe, we have the Muddy Waters house here that I talk about that every two or three times a year, and it's just continued to fall into disrepair. Pretty soon that house will be gone. You won't be able to save it.
Yeah, no, man, it's a tragedy, because that's a lot of history. Yeah. Right there that we could be, teaching our, youth, so they can get into it. And I think that's part of the solution is to educate our youth with the history that we have with Chicago blues here, man.
Yeah. Oh, man. I think Big Bro Wayne just said a lot. And he's absolutely right. He hit that on because, well, for one, Wayne's a great ambassador because he was born in it. It's in his blood.
Sure.
But for a lot of us that's not fortunate to either be born in the blues or come from the blues or have it in our blood, it's essential that we teach the roots and the heritage of the mother of our music to our future because they're the ones that can kind of uplift this and make it what it needs to be. But if we don't throw it on our future and on our kids, and show them and explain to them why it's so important and why it's so important to have instruments in your hand and not going to the studio and start using digital instruments, then that's key. The key. That's the building block, and that's what's going to ensure the future of the blues. And we're lucky because we got kids. I ain't going to call them kids because they're men, but we got younger musicians like Marquise Knox, my partner. We got Jontavious Willis. We got Kingfish. So we're fortunate. But it's so much more work to do for the future.
Yeah. Well, we've gotten in the history thing, but I want people to know that track was your father. And it's interesting that we got Wayne on because Wayne's father was Lonnie. And Zoe, talk about your father. And then we'll talk about the project that's out now.
For sure. Well, my dad, Henry James Townsend, Henry Jesse James Townsend, also known as the Mule, is not only the patriarch of St. Louis blues, but he is one of the essential bridges and bricks of traditional blues and Delta blues, and one of the forefathers. Ran away from home, was born in 1909, first of all. I'm his baby boy. I'm 31, so I get that question first and foremost for anything. Like, wait a minute, so how old was he when you were born? He was 77. But that's a musician for you.
How old was he? Say that again.
At the age of 9 years old, jumped on the train, ran away from home.
Wait a minute, back up. How old was he when you were born?
77.
Wow. Holy mackerel. Okay.
I want to be just like that.
That still gives me some hope.
I'm like, oh, wow. But, I'm his baby boy. And to his story, he was born in 1909 in Shelby, Mississippi. So he came from the Delta, came from Mississippi, ran away from home at the age of 9 years old, running away from a whooping. For blowing snuff in his cousin's eyes. And my grandfather promised him a really good whooping when he got home that night. And my dad used to tell me the story that, his father, my grandfather, was a very strict disciplinarian. So that whooping was not something to be looking forward to. So he jumped on the train, ran away from home at the age of 9. That's how he made it to Cairo, Illinois. That's where Cairo, that song Cairo and Those Roots are famous from. And then from Cairo, he made it to St. Louis, Missouri. Recorded every decade since 1929. Yeah. He made his first recording in 1929 in Grafton, Wisconsin, for Paramount.
I want to talk about that.
He started his career way earlier than that. As a teenager coming in the streets of St. Louis, he looked up to people like Lonnie Johnson, who I'm technically kind of named after, Alonzo Johnson, but Lonnie Johnson, and Little Piano from Roosevelt Sykes. And those two are the ones that define not only what he wanted to do, but, led him to being one of the patriarchs today of the blues. That's, where he learned guitar and piano from. And his career spans not only from the 20s, but he made his very last recording or his official album came out in 2004 was My Story. 2006 was Last of the Great Mississippi Delta Blues.
Yeah. He lived to be
artists that we're talking about span from the 20s all the way into the new millennium.
He lived to be 96 years old.
When he passed away, he was 96 years old. And not only, and to put more emphasis on that story, when my dad passed away, we were up in Grafton, Wisconsin for the very first Paramount Blues Festival.
Yeah, I've been there.
That was the very first time that he had returned to Grafton since he made that initial recording.
Oh, wow. Well, I want to ask you about that.
You goosebumps.
We got to take
a wheel because that shows how a career comes full circle.
Okay, we got to take a break for the news. You can hang on a little bit longer from your telephone.
While
the news break, I really hope we can find a letter to my city. So maybe we can find audio. Okay, we got it. Good, thanks. So maybe we can come back on the news with that because that's awesome stuff.
You know what's going to be even better is Wayne hasn't heard that yet.
Oh, okay,
right on.
You did a song, huh? You ain't telling me.
Okay, so this will be fun. So don't go away on Nocturnal Journal on WGN. There you go. Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN. And that is Alonzo J. Townsend, A Letter to My City. It's on a best of compilation. Talk about that track, Alonzo.
Yeah, man. I'm proud. I'm pretty proud. It took me a while to listen to my voice over and over and be comfortable with it. But I'm really proud because that work is years in the making. A big piece of our blues push here in St. Louis. Jeremy Siegel Moss, he's the president of the St. Louis Blues Society. And I've been close friends with him for a number of years. He watched me grow up, of course, with my dad. And he pushed me for like the last 3 to 4 years. He's like, I need you to make a song. I want you to do a song. You're good at writing. Need to make a song. And for those who know me, the only instrument that I ever picked up and played was alto saxophone. But the thing that I picked up most from my father was writing music and being good at wordplay. So I wrote this song actually an hour before I had to be at the recording session. He said, I want you to do a song for the St. Louis Blues Society 17 and 17 compilation. So it's the best of artists in St. Louis in 2017, and we showcase them all on the CD each year, working on 18 and 18 right now with a batch of different artists. So 17 and 17, produced by Paul Niehaus of Blue Locust Studios, and went over there to his studio and really wrote those words about an hour tops before I had to be there. And we did a little tinkering around. When I got there, he produced the full track behind it and added another phenomenal voice, a local musician, Sean Corray, who does the background vocals for in the song. But
how can people?
It's a deep, blues. Almost someone told me it sounds like a deep Elm blues track. But it combines not only the roots of the blues, but also my strong suit of doing spoken word, because I also do spoken word. And that's kind of why the delivery is like that in the song. And I meshed it together, and it came out way better than I expected.
Cause yeah, I was it's hot, man. Stuff up. It's hot. I like it.
But it came out way better than I expected to. And, you know, when I talk about, you know, it's a letter to St. Louis. You know, I talk about, you know, what we've been through the last couple of years, both that's been showcased on the national and international level, in addition to some things that hasn't been showcased on the national international level. And I just talk about, you know, not only the hurdles that we jump through, but why, but also why it's so important that we love and continue the legacy of the blues and the heritage, while at the same time putting a little spotlight on our social issues and trying to create some change.
How can listeners find that? Is there any way they can find the track or the CD?
So, yeah, so right now, if you go to StLouisBluesSociety.org, you can order the CD off of there. I know that we just uploaded the CD, or should be getting ready to be uploaded if it isn't already on there, to all the digital platforms. We just literally did that about a month or two ago, the St. Louis Blues Society did, should I say. So it should be on Spotify, Amazon Music, all the major digital platforms. I just found out a couple of weeks ago that they submitted it for the Blues Foundation for the BMAs this year. So hopefully, if not me, but a lot of our local St. Louis talent gets showcased and may possibly walk away with a BMA this year, that even is even better. But you could also find a video I shot for it, a part of NPR's Tiny Desk on YouTube.
Oh, you did
just type in a letter to my city.
And before we Wayne takes the stage here, talk about how people can find the reissue of your father's album. I mean, the 1980 album Mule, that's on Omnivore Recordings.
Yeah, so that's the icing on the cake, I think, brother. A lot of people excited. One of my dad's most classic albums is Mule. It was recorded in 1980 on the Nighthawks record label. And for a lot of people that know, you know, my dad learned under Dudlow, Joe, Son Ryan, Henry Spaulding, and then some of his most vital work was as an accompanist, along with Walter Davis, Big Joe Williams, Pine Top Sparks, Roosevelt Sykes, Sonny Boy Williamson, Robert Nighthawk. So Sonny Boy Williamson and Big Joe are some of those songs are showcased heavy if you go through my dad's catalog, which contributes to this Mule album. It's remastered from its original tapes. It also includes 8 previously unissued, unreleased tracks that's never been heard before as well. Omnivore's, first of all, I got to give a lot of love to Omnivore Recordings. It was co-produced by Grammy Award-winning producer Cheryl Pawlewski, and it was remastered from the original tapes, like I said, from Grammy Award-winning engineer Michael Graves. It is amazing piece of work, and it's also going to be a visual, not only digital, but also CD form in the jewel box I'm all about digital. I'm all about the future, but I'm going to tell you right now, ordering that CD is going to be a great, whether it's a Christmas present or just a keepsake, because the liner notes have been updated with additional and expanded notes and photos from the original album producer, a great soul, Leroy Jody Pearson.
When does it come out? Is it out now?
It comes out December 14th, so it comes out next Friday.
Okay, great.
It comes out next Friday, and I got a chance to kind of look at the CD in the jewel box, and that's why I say if you're all into, like, gifts and all that stuff, or keepsakes or mementos, I encourage you to order the CD online from Omnivore Recordings, because it's a beautiful piece of work. They got their CD looking awesome, and it's going to be – I'm really excited about the 8 unreleased bonus tracks that no one's ever heard before. That kind of keeps the recording legacy of recording in 9 consecutive decades going with these 8 unreleased tracks.
Before I let you go, I want to ask you, and this is for Wayne also, like your dad's work with Sonny Boy Williamson, they said that was like the beginning that led to the Chicago ensemble style of playing.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that? Tell the listeners what that is.
Well, I seen it because, you know, my dad's close association and not going to even call it just a friendship, but almost like a brotherhood with Robert Nighthawk and Sonny Boy Williamson, it gave him an insight and even more put him into a role of what the Chicago sound and ensemble style not only sound like, but what it looked like, because Robin Nighthawk, Sonny Boy, and Big Joe, they all originated from Chicago, mm-hmm. first and foremost. And my dad spent a little time also in Chicago after he was discharged from the Army in 1944. He moved up to Chicago and found himself performing with Lil Walter, Odom Brown, Eddie Boyd, and then came back to St. Louis and renewed his relationship with Walter Davis. So I think, you know, the highlight of being not only around those original bluesmen of Chicago soil, but also them invoking him and pulling him into it is what made him a part of not only that style, but gave him a deeper understanding of what it is. Because everyone needs to understand the Delta born as a birthplace of the blues. It moved a lot of these same artists that were born in Mississippi, made their way up to Memphis, and then got to St. Louis, and then got to Chicago. St. Louis is the heartbeat of the blues highway, but it would not be in that highway is connected by Mississippi and Chicago. And that's where that style, you know, is really highlighted. People have to understand, you know, that heartbeat is that connection piece between Mississippi and Chicago, is that St. Louis style.
Zoe, you're only 31 years old. What about your peer group when you really know your stuff and maybe they're listening to hip hop and stuff? Are they interested in this? Or, I mean, is there, you know, as far as like classic old school blues and stuff, people your age?
For years, some of them have shied away from it.
Yeah.
A couple of notable hip hop acts have kind of dipped their toes into it, like Nas when he did his blues inspired track, but ultimately not originally they weren't too interested. It was all like, oh man, that's old people music, or my grandma listened to Woody Woo, not knowing that the blues birthed hip hop, because not only did it birth it from a verbal standpoint, but a lot of these artists, like my dad. And my dad recorded music, and then 10 years or 15 or 20 years later, especially when he got into his older ages in the 80s and 90s when I was with him, he'd tell me and anybody else, man, I didn't remember all the words to these songs. So some of the time, I remember the hooks, he said, but I would just improv and just freestyle a lot of the words about either how I'm feeling that day or how I'm feeling, you know, in general, and then I would make that song back up. So these bluesmen were the original rappers. And then at the same time, these samples and these sounds that you hear, you wouldn't hear it if it wasn't for the blues. So it is a wake-up call. It's a renaissance starting to happen. We got local artists here in St. Louis, or national artists now, but like Tef Pope, some of them are coming up and they're finding their way and figuring out how to freestyle and how to infuse their music with the blues. I tell hip-hop artists all the time, hip-hop, rap, whatever you want to call it, is not going to live on until you come back and you touch your roots, which is the blues. You guys can infuse a whole new life into the style, into what hip-hop is, once you return to the roots.
Same.
And that started to get a little bit more receptive to it, especially when you got artists like my partner in crime, Marquise Knox. Marquise is 27 years old, and he started studying underneath my dad. He was a student of my father's, and being a student of my father's took him to be able to play with Honey Boy Edwards, Chicago's own legacy, mm-hmm. Honey Boy, and Robert Jr. Lockwood, and Pine Top Perkins. Like, you're talking about a 17-year-old kid playing with legends. So now when kids underneath my age, in my age, see somebody like Marquise, who's 27, going on stage and lighting it on fire, that makes them want to that makes them not only relate to the blues, but it makes them inspired and want to find out more. Those are going to be the keys to the future.
Wayne, do you see that? What do you see? You're a young man too, Wayne.
Yeah, not that young. I wish I was, but no, I'm 48 now, so, but I was around, you know, when music was changing into hip hop, you know, the genre was actually exploding.
Mm-hmm.
And, to be quite frank, the one song that I do have that actually hit mainstream was the song with Twista and GLC on it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And, the Bears used that song, Bears Network used that song for like 2 months, and the Bears went undefeated. As soon as they stopped the license, they lost. I was like, oh man.
No.
But yeah, really. But when I look at blues and hip hop, I look at I heard him say Nas. I think I was a part of that reason that him and his father did it, because I called his father Ola. And and I talked with him, and I was like, man, I would love to get you, my dad, Nas, and myself and my brother in the studio so we can, like, you know, do this. And he was like, ah, man, Nas is so busy. And then, like, you know, a year later, they did the track. But, you know, when I look at blues and hip hop, it to me, it's the same thing. It's, you know, the hip hoppers are talking about what's going on in their world. And that's what we do. We talk about what's going on in our world. And usually it's, you know, money, women, booze, you know, cars, you know, and that's what they rap about, you know, the same thing, you know. And I always say that it's the same thing, you know, like Coca-Cola. You get it in a can, you get it in a bottle, you get it in a bar gun. It's the same recipe. It's the same thing. Right. You just, you know, bottle it up differently or dress it up differently. But when I did Something's Going Down, I was envisioning the grandfather, musically speaking, the grandfather talking to the grandson, saying, hey, man, you got the voice of the nation. You got the voice of the world. Use it right. You know, when I asked Twista and GLC to do this song, you know, I said, hey, man, you know, I know you're a gangster rapper and everything. I know you do your thing. But, hey, man, you know, I'm going to have kids listening to this. And they respected it. It was like, man, Wayne, we love what you do. You just tell us what to do. And that's what I loved about it. It's, you know, I think sometimes rap get a bad rap because, you know, of the language and all of this stuff. But they are really good people. You know, they're not, you know, like Twista's manager said, hey, man, you know, we work with everybody. We're not a-holes.
Yeah.
You know, we're coming to make music. We're not, like, you know, coming to, you know, fight and stuff. So,
Your dad.
I'm going to say real quick, I'm going to chime in real quick and just say a sentence on that. Like, Wayne set that bar when he did that song with Twista. And it's so, and the words that he just said is so illuminating, because that you do get a bad rap. A rap does get a bad rap because of how they may objectify women or the words they may use. But when it comes, when it boils down to it, it's reality. You know, it's the same, like you say, it's the same thing as blues. We're speaking our truth and speaking our reality.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Willie Dixon.
And the reason where we may have missed some things when it comes to the language or it comes to objectifying women, like Wayne just said, it's like your grandfather's talking to the grandson when the blues come in. Some of those souls, or should I say, some of those verses, some of that music wasn't grandfathered. No one was able to sit there and tell them, hey, this is what you need to be focused on, or this is what's important, or speak this part of the truth and leave this to the side. You know, a lot of them didn't have that upbringing, whether it be, say, the fathers in the home or the grandfather or whoever raising. You know, sometimes we fall through the cracks and we don't have that leadership, but now we're in a prime real estate right now, because we are able to be those voices and be those leaders and be those mentors for the future, so they can start talking about not only how important the blues is, but why the blues birthed hip hop. Because again, the mother blues is the mother of all genres, and you wouldn't have any of these without mother blues.
That's right.
Okay, we got a break here. Zoe, you must have a radio show there. You're a good talker.
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
You should. Not yet, but it's coming.
Okay,
it's coming.
So it comes out this Friday or a week from Friday. Mule, the 1980 reissue.
Yeah, the Mule remastered, reissued with eight additional bonus unreleased, never heard before tracks. Comes out December the 14th. It'll be out a day earlier digitally, so you can download it on all major digital platforms, or you can order it, the physical hard copy, December the 14th.
Omnivore Records. Thanks so much for taking time out. I know you're a busy guy tonight, so thanks for joining us.
I appreciate you more than you know. Thank you.
Okay, all right, we'll see you. We'll be back with some live music in the studio after this on WGN.